Everybody turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. The church is birthed in Acts chapter 2. There was no church in the Old Testament. The church wasn't here while Jesus was ministering. This is after his death and his ascension. And now the church is birthed on the day of Pentecost. The word Penta means 50. 50 days after the Passover. It was a Jewish holiday. And the Holy Spirit came down and birthed the church. Verse 36, Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Many Israelites were there. It was for the church, and the Jews were the main thing, the beginning. And it says, let all the house of Israel, those that are lost and those that are found, therefore know certainly. God's getting ready to do something. Catch in on what's going on. That God hath made him, Jesus, catch all the pronouns, both Lord and Christ, both the God and both the Messiah. This Jesus whom you crucified. Woo! You murdered the Christ. You murdered God in flesh. You missed it. Wow. Some probably got mad. Some probably got defensive. I'm a Jew. I'm a son of Abraham. Don't need Jesus. Verse 37, but there was a group. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to their heart. Now, how do we know that either they were mad or they were humbled and convicted? The context tells you which they were. They were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, that's a good word, isn't it? Brothers, that's a humble word. Brothers, you know, not accusers, they didn't say accusers. Why did you say that? We've not done anything. Brothers, what shall we do? We killed him. We're guilty. Verse 38, and Peter said to them, repent, call it sin, confess, get it right, and be baptized. Make it public. Do you know in those days, the baptism and communion were started, okay? And baptism was not something you took lightly, because if you got baptized as a Jew, you were thrown out of the synagogue. You were done. You were done. It wasn't an, oh, I'll get baptized. Today it's pretty easy to get baptized and take communion. In places in the world, if you get baptized and become a Christian in some of the Muslim countries, you suffer. It means something. I wish it meant something here today. I trust your baptism meant something to you. It was a statement that this old sinner is saved and I want everybody to know it. It's a public statement, an open statement. And so they repented and they were baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, declaring, I'm for Jesus. I'm not for the Jews anymore. I'm for Jesus. Jesus has fulfilled the law. The law didn't save me. Jesus did. It's a new thing. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, those aren't his two, you know, his first name Jesus and his last name's Christ. In the Bible, names mean something. Jesus is Savior. Christ is Messiah. The Lord is, he's God. Big statements. And they believed in Jesus Christ and the name. The name means all it meant with him. He's God. He's our forgiver. He's our Savior. It's who he is. And it says, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive, okay, you know, you'll make it. You'll get it. The gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into us. We've been preaching in Romans 14, Romans 6, 7, and 8 about the Holy Spirit. If you've not been reading Romans 6, 7, 8, you need to read that. How the Holy Spirit, I'm getting ready to do some teaching on John 14, 15, and 16, the Holy Spirit. If you've not read that lately, you need to understand what the Holy Spirit does in your life, because if you're a believer, you got him. And it's God in you. It's Jesus in you. It's the Father in you. It's wild. And He will help you. He will guide you. He will teach you. He will help you get victory over sin if you'll just lean on it. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. 100 times a day. Is that right? They realized you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit to have victory and to walk with Him. Verse 39, for the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you, catch this right here, and your what? Children, and for how many? All who are far off. Do you know you're mentioned right here? You need to say amen. You need to get excited. You're mentioned here. It says for you and your children, and I love to see my children and grandchildren walk with God. That's the goal of this church. If we fail there, we failed. And I want to see the next generation and the next generation. And then it says, and all who are afar off, He was looking all the way till today. That you got the Holy Spirit and you should grasp that and enjoy that. And it says, verse 40, and with many other words, He was a true preacher. He preached a long time. He bore. He was boring. No. He bore witness. He said, this is the truth. And he says, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, to encourage them, and saying, save yourself. Now, he wasn't saying, save yourself. He was saying, grab Jesus and be saved. And you have to choose it yourself. And if you do not repent and believe yourself and choose to do that, you won't find Him. Save yourself from this crooked, this messed up generation. We must go after all generations. Pastor Kyle said this morning, we must. We have a couple generations away from Christian America. Is that right? And but we still have some Christians in the generations. We still have hope. And that's what I'm talking about this morning, that we still have a witness. We still can talk to people that are unchurched. There is still an air in America that when we have trouble, we what? We pray. There's still an air in America. Krissa was saying about her class the other day that the kids were using God's name in vain so much, this third graders, so much that she thought she was at church. Now that's a joke. But it's not a joke. It's terrible. You know, they were using the name of Jesus, name of God and all that, and she was sitting there going, you don't do that in my class. She says, I thought I was almost at church, Dad. And to realize there's still hope, and we got a crooked generation, but God will straighten it out all the way to heaven. We'll take the wicked to the righteous, but it's our job to do that. Save yourself and then your posterity. Verse 41, here's the church. And those who received, those who repented and believed His word in their heart and were publicly baptized, saying, I want everybody to know I'm saved. And there were added, that's growth, that day about 3,000 souls. And they, the people that are added to the church, devoted their love, their life, they devoted themselves. This is the church. The church is people devoted to the apostles' teaching, to doctrine, to their fellowship, their way of life, the breaking of bread, remembering communion, and to prayers, taking everything for heaven's help. And this is what got me in the new reading of this week. And all, King James says fear. Does King James say fear? And fear came upon all. And this is all. This is wonderment. All of Jerusalem saw these people repent and saw these people get baptized. That was public. And then saw that they were gathering together, and there was 3,000 of them, and they were all listening to the Bible being taught, and they were starting to follow. They were starting to obey and live like the apostles, and they were having communion from their heart, and they were having prayers from their heart, not just ritualism. And they were, wow, Did you see that? Did you hear about George down the road? He's not a heathen anymore. He's a godly man. And they were filled with wonderment at all of what God was doing and saving people and the publicness of it and the change of people's lives and their interest change. Is that right? Wow. That's what we want people to see in us. And it says, and all, verse 43, and all came upon every soul. That was both believer and unbeliever. Every soul, it said. They were in wonderment of what's happening here. These people were just regular people. Now they're forgiven, and now they have the Holy Spirit in them. And now they're concerned about doing right and not the crooked generation. And they've been baptized, and they've devoted themselves. They just love hearing the doctrine and change lives and taking communion and praying. It says, verse 43, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. I wish I was an apostle, huh? Where I could heal somebody. I pray for people. I see hurting people. Now, God can heal them, but in those days, the apostles had the signs of the apostles upon them, and it was to authenticate the disciples, the 12 apostles, as the next followers of Jesus with power. Jesus gone to heaven, and he left his power on earth, and they, in the early part of Acts, they could just walk past Peter. Is that right? They could just do anything, and they would be healed, and there was a lot of healing, and that was authenticating and authorizing them as the followers of Jesus. The signs of the apostles were upon them. And if you keep reading the book of Acts, those signs ceased. Those signs ceased. Paul couldn't even heal himself. Remember, he says, I asked the Lord three times, take it away. And the Lord said what? No, my grace is sufficient. And his grace is sufficient. Now, I want you to know all those people that were healed eventually what? Died. Understand that. Understand that. It wasn't perfect. It was temporal. But it was real. It was full. And I've seen God do some healing. I've seen God take people home. Huh? Both are good. And it's always according to his will. But here the wonderment, the awe is before the healing statement. Note there's a comma and many wonders. But the awe was, these people have changed. Did you see that? This guy goes to church now instead of to the bar. He's changed. Did you hear his language? He used to cuss all the time. Now he talks about Jesus. Used to use Jesus in different language, now he uses Jesus in the right language. And it says, verse 44, and all who believed were together, there's the church, and had all things common. They loved one another, shared. Verse 45, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Do you know this church does that more than any church I've ever seen? Somebody has a need in this church, and they're part of the family, there's a lot of help going their direction. Is that true? If you've not experienced, you need to be a part of it. You need to be a part of it when somebody's out of work or somebody's hurting. You do your part to help them. Is that right? You do your part. What you can do, do it. And love on them, encourage them, write them notes, send them gifts. I've seen people in need shake hands with people and there'd be a $50 bill in their hand. You know what I'm saying? To help their need, and you know it. And you can give it to them, and you should. And they were together. They were common. Let's keep reading verse 46. And day by day, it was a everyday occurrence. Do you know we have texting that you can do every day, every hour? You know? Now, I don't know anything about tweet, and I am going to start up on my Facebook page. I'm committed to doing that at least once a week. That's terrible. But if you don't keep in touch. I have grandchildren that do things on Facebook, and I was just told that they can only do that with their parents' permission to certain people. And I'm not on that list. I think Ron Lee's on that list, but I'm not. And I miss some of their life. So old Mike's going to get some stuff being done. And that's important. And to say day by day, attending in the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. Their homes were affected. Their family, their children, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God. Worship. And having favor with all the people. They were touching people. Lost people, believing people. They were touching people. And the Lord added to their number the church there. The word their number is the church. Okay, their number. Where do we get the church or membership? I want you to know their number. Did they know who the number were? Yeah. Whatever list it was, we have membership list, and there was a number. We don't know how they do it, but they knew who was of the Church of Jerusalem. They knew who was of the Church of Philippi. Is that right? There was a number. And it just wasn't 35, it was people. And that's why church membership is right there. They were connected. Is that right? They were committed to one another. There was a number. Everybody knew who it was. Their number, the church, day by day, those who were being saved. God grew the church. God is still in the business of growing the church. The church is simply growing by the issue of love. John 13, 34 and 35. Put it up there. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give. Love like I loved you. The new commandment is like me, Jesus. And by this all people will know that you are my disciples because you love one another. Churches grow by love, okay? Simple love grows churches, simply grows churches, and is a simple church. A simple church is we're here to worship God, know God, and to propagate God in our own lives, in our families, and to our community. Huh? Simple, simple. Why are we here? We're to know Him and to fear Him and to obey Him and to serve Him and to enjoy Him and then give Him away. Both individually, as a home, as a group called the church, and to our lost world, okay? And that is so important in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. It is so important that we realize the biggest problem we have is we're in love with ourselves. Huh? Preacher, I'm not in love with myself. Oh, yes, you are. Every one of us. We are to love others as you love what? Yourself. That means you take care of yourself. You paint yourself up. Try to make yourself, you cover yourself up, make yourself look skinnier. You wear black. Okay? Okay. He says, love people, give of yourself. Don't get caught up in yourself. Don't love yourself. Do not, love not yourselves. Okay, put that up. Put that up. Love not yourselves. It's very important. Then we are to love our God. You are to love your God. Our church is all about this. We cannot have a church that people do not love God. If you love yourself, you're missing it. You got to love God. You got to enjoy God. You got to obey God. You got to study God. You got to walk with God. You got to enjoy Him. You got to have a personal relation, an ongoing personal relationship. That's why you read the Bible. That's why you're into God. He's your God, not you. It's just not something you add on. It's who you are, or it's who you're not. And a people that do not have God can't attract people to their church. We have churches all across this land that are filled with people that don't know God. You know, it's just a nice feeling, or He might help me more financially. I had a man tell me he's going to quit coming to a church and go to another church because he'd have more financial dealings at the next church. And I said, well, that's a real reason to go to church. You know. You got to have it yourself. Christian, I trust you're alive yourself. If you're not alive yourself, grab that Bible and read it till it comes alive. That is something. Well, preacher, keep reading. Keep reading. Keep reading. of John and read the book of John. Grab the book of Ephesians and read the book of Ephesians. Read it. Read the book of Colossians. Read the book of James. It'll come alive. Well, preacher, well, keep reading it. It's the only thing I can tell you. Keep coming to Sunday school. Keep coming to church. Keep coming Sunday night. Keep coming Wednesday night. Keep. Amen. Go to your Bible studies. And we're getting ready to start a men's, strong men's ministry. Keep coming. Just devour it. Devour it. We have a football game going on tonight. And if you're from Kansas City, you're going crazy. You're going to paint yourself up as Indians and go and scream and holler and act foolish, huh? And spend thousands of dollars to be there. Or if you're from San Francisco, there's, you know. Now, if it was Indiana, we would be all right. Chicago would be all right. No. But, you know, they go crazy. No, He's my God. I serve Him. I obey Him. I fear Him. I walk with Him. I talk with Him. It's wonderful to have a relationship with God. I trust you have that. Secondly, this relationship must flow into your family. You must love your family, not yourself, your family. If you have a family, you're selfless. You got a baby, they just are totally selfish. They just take all your time. Do they care how you're feeling? No. Okay, but you got to love your family. I want my family to know God. So I got to love God, and then I got to love my family to God. I'm not going to take time there. But you get them to a place where your family, you can model it before them, mentor before them, minister with them. This is close family, family that are distance. I got to get God to my family. I don't quite know how to do it, but I'm going to walk with Him and get excited about it, and then I'm going to present it to my family. When we were over with our grandchildren with Andrew, one of them said to me, I was putting him to bed, and he asked me a Bible question. I said, cool beans. You know, how do you get them to ask you a question? Grandpa, what about this passage? I go, woo, that's cool. That's why I'm here. And for them to ask me, you know, I can preach them all day. But no, my family. So, and then you got to love your church. You got to love your, this is a great church. And I can say this, you have a great lead pastor right now. Okay, and y'all need to revel in that. You knowing God, and you're getting your family. Isn't it great to have a great God, and then you get God in your family, and then you get your family and God to church, and then you're cooking with there. You're cooking. You're walking with God. Your family's starting to walk with. Nobody's perfect. Nobody, you know, I never feel like I know what I'm doing. Okay, I'm just doing. Paul says, I just press on. I just press on. And I try to stay in the Bible and stay close to the Bible, but I'm a mess sometimes. I'm a sinner. And wow, but I'm going to try to walk with God, and I'm going to try to get my family walking with God, and then I'm going to be a part of my church walking with God, and I'm going to love my church and love my preacher and love my Sunday school teacher and get excited about all the ones teaching all over the place at different age levels. Should you as an old person be excited about what's going on in our children's departments? Yes. Should you as children and young adults be excited what's going on in the mature adult section? Yes. It's your church. It's very important that we realize that a church grows by love. And we're loving God, not loving ourselves. We're getting God in our family and loving our family to God. And then we come to church and we're trying to love everybody. And it says in John 13:34-35, if y'all love one another... That's what it says? By your love for one another, you're caring for one another, helping one another. Everybody will see that, and they'll want what you have, and they'll know that you're walking with God. We have a church that loves one another. Keep it up. Be a part of it. When you come to church, do not come and just sit down. Be like Dan Bays and go around and shake everybody's hand. Now that's his calling, okay? But if we have visitors, every visitor should have 10 people to shake their hand. I was coming back, we had visitors sitting back there one Sunday, and there were 5 people around talking to them, and I said, wow, that's enough. So I kept on going. You don't want to kill them, you know. Okay? But you come to bless people, and the people you try to bless, you should try to come to church to pray for somebody. You should come to church and see somebody. Do you see people down? If you see them down, sit down beside them and say, hey, how's life? And you might be able to pray. You might go to some room and pray. If you would go pray with somebody the whole service, that would be great. And texting people, emailing people, Facebooking people. We got that, writing letters to people, touching people, encouraging, praying for them, sending them meals, doing. You should be a part of loving one another. That's how a church grows. It's real simple. And also, we got to love lost people. We have a great church. We have a great church. We have some great families. That's our product. We have some great individual people walking with God. But you have lost people in and around your life, okay? Some of you have a bigger circle. Some of you have a smaller circle. The statistics say that once a person gets saved, about 4 years after that, they do not know on a close basis an unsaved person. So if you've been saved more than 4 years, you're going to have to work at getting unsaved people that you befriend. And you've got to have to work at it. I've not done well. This year I've done well with my tomatoes and my pumpkins. Okay? But if you're working, you have a whole sphere there. Find 3 people at work that have some interest in God and start showing them some attention. Become their friend. Okay? And note, they are people. There's people that are neighbors. Okay? Find 1 or 2 people that if all you do is go to the pharmacist and the doctor's office, find some doctor. They need Jesus too. Some nurse. Okay? That's important. We have a great church. We have people walking with God, families that are being produced by God. And then we have a church that's loving one another. And we need to note that there's lost people out there that we need to show them our love for God, our family's love for God, and our church's love for God, because they need to get into it. And we got to compel them to come in. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. Luke 14:23. The key is, I just got to invite people. We have a great church. When we have a function going on here, Easter's coming up. This church should be packed for Easter, because all of you bring what? 1 person. Huh? Is that hard? That's the purpose of it. We're having the Merrills come in the summer for VBS. We're having Corn come in the fall. You should love your church so much and realize it's producing good families and good people, walking with God. We're not perfect by no means, but it's happening, that you should be inviting the people in your sphere. And you got to get to know them pretty good today, because people just don't come to people. Everybody's sitting at home watching TV and playing on their video games and on their telephone, and nobody's talking to anybody. Is that true? So you're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to build relationships. You're going to have to take rising roles into work and take them there. Huh? It's very important. You're going to have to start doing deeds of kindness. Huh? And they'll realize that. Words of kindness. You need to encourage people. You need to intentionally go to work, intentionally go to sporting events, intentionally go to the coffee house, intentionally play golf. It's right. Touching people. And then we've got a church that the families are going for God, the people are trying to go for God, and we need to invite people to church, huh? That's simply how a church grows. Simple. Church doesn't grow by us putting a billboard out or putting something on TV and advertising and bring people in. Church grows by you touching lost people and getting excited about your God and touching them with deeds of kindness, and then when events come to invite unsaved, that you're ready to bring them. Simple. The church is for you. Then we have events that you get to invite the people that you're trying to do deeds of kindness to. That's it. How to grow a church. Start loving some lost people. And then bring them to the events that we have. Amen? That's all that happens. That's all that happens. Real simple. Preacher, I don't know somebody. Well, then go find somebody. That's all I'm going to say. Every contact I have for lost people is somebody I don't know. So I have to figure out how to get in their lives. And I've been trying. That's all you can do. Are we here to do that? We're to let our light so shine before men that they may see what? Our good works and glorify the Father. We have a great church. We have a great senior pastor. He's going to be preaching the word and people are going to be drawn. You need to invite people, huh? Go out and compel people to come in that my house may be what? Filled. We had a man who used to come here. Been trying to think of his name. He lived on County Road 5, Mr. Backert. Backert? Mr. Backert, you sit back there. Unsaved man. Every time he came to church, he would say, "This church should be full." And I'm sitting there going, "I'm trying, bud." You know. Why isn't there? Not, oh, there should be people. He wasn't even a saved man. I beg of you, you've got a new pastor, and all you have to do is get excited about here. This place ain't perfect, but you need to get excited and say, I'm going to start loving on five people that are lost so that we can maybe see them saved this year and invite them to our functions. They might not come to some, but keep loving them. Keep doing deeds of kindness, deeds of kindness, deeds of kindness. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the church. Help us each to do our part. Help us to love it and realize that there's lost people out there that desperately need our God that produces good people and good families and a good church. Lord, we're going to stay a Bible church. And Lord, people in our area need a Bible church. And that's what we got. Lord, help us each to go out and to compel them to come in. In Jesus' name I pray.